Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning. As we continue looking into the Olivet Discourse, I've subtitled that message, "The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God," because there's different aspects of this sermon by the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of his ministry that he directs to the Jews specifically and to the Church of God. And then the last parable in the Olivet Discourse will be dealing with the Gentiles. And so I hope you're enjoying this as we continue to look at this Olivet Discourse. We are right now in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, starting with 15, starting the abomination of desolation, to verse 31, looking at the physical return of the Lord to the earth. And please enjoy this message as we continue to look at this Olivet Discourse. Hopefully you remember some of the things I explained about Mount of Olives, its location, and you can look that back up by going to the Freedom 95 website podcast page and looking up last week's message. We read in Zechariah chapter 13, Only a third of those Jewish saints will make it alive to Petra. It says, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried." That's a very interesting point right there. What does Jesus tell the church, the Laodicean church? To buy of him gold tried in fire. That means suffering. Today, the church is very comfortable here, especially in America. And in Europe, they're experiencing great comfort. Just the heat is just starting to be turned up. But he says here, "Refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." So as I mentioned when I was preaching the seven rapture references of the book of Revelation, I talked about the gleaning. That will be the Israelites here coming to a saving knowledge, transformation, and a restoration of the Israelites. They will see that this major event that had been prophesied, at first they did not believe it. They didn't even consider it when they made the peace accord with the Antichrist, but once it literally happened, they just know that this is what the prophets were preaching, and they need to flee Jerusalem immediately. But it's amazing, two parts or two-thirds shall be cut off and die. Only a third of the Israelites will be able to make it through the fire and will be able to hide in the Red Rock city of Petra, and the Lord will protect them there with his divine providence. The tribulation after this event will be intense. It is said, we'll read it again in Matthew chapter 24, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened." So possibly the last 3.5 years, that 70th week, that still has to be fulfilled in Daniel's prophecy, may be shortened because of the intensity of the tribulation. Well, we see that right here in the scriptures. So it is going to be shortened. We don't know how much time it will be shortened to, but the Lord will shorten it. And those Jews will rejoice in the Lord when he comes down to this earth and plants his feet on the Mount of Olives. And so then there's a warning about the false prophets that will be that will be in the desert. And he warns the Israelites, don't go out of the Red Rock city of Petra. Don't believe people who say that Christ has returned and he's in the desert. And we'll explain why not to do those things. But there's going to be temptations to lure the elect out of the Red Rock city of Petra, where they are naturally protected and also protected by the providence of God. And so there are those who are going to try to lure them out of the city and say, well, Christ is in the desert. And he says, don't go out there. Why? Because now we know why he's not to believe that. And hopefully the Jews have heard that, understand that. They've heard this from the prophets who will be preaching this, because the only people who are preaching this today are believers. Even in Israel, there are believers. There are Jews who have come to Christ. They call them Messianic Jews. They believe Jesus is the Messiah, but they're few and far between. Though, because of the vast capabilities of media and social media, they are reaching more and more people in Israel with the gospel, and It's much easier for a Jew who grew up as a Jew, went to the temple and practiced the Jewish law and practiced the Jewish religion. Once they are converted, it's so much easier for them to reach other Jews. And so that is growing quite extensively there in Israel. But still, the nation, the mass majority of Jews have not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And really, in reality, Israel, only a small percentage of the Jews in Israel are religious and go to synagogue, go to practice their religion. There are many atheistic Jews, Jews who don't believe in God, don't believe in the Old Testament, don't believe Moses was a prophet, don't believe David was a prophet, don't believe in about Abraham. They ignore those things. They despise anything that has to do with the morality and the law of Moses, the law of God in the Old Testament. They're atheistic. They're only Jews biologically, but they're not Jews by religion. So now, about the coming of the Lord, we read in chapter 24, Matthew 24, verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And so, it will be a huge astronomical phenomenon in the sky when Jesus comes back. And that's why they're warned not to go out in the desert when somebody says that the Messiah is in the desert, that Jesus is in the desert, Christ is in the desert, that there are very many false prophets. But they will know when Jesus does come back, the sky will light up, and every soul on the face of the earth will know he is coming back. He is planting his feet in Jerusalem. All around the globe, every part of the earth will know that Jesus is coming back. A cosmic explosion will take place, that the sky will light up as he comes down to the earth with his saints. And it will be universally observed of him descending to the earth. And so again, there's a two-stage return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his second advent, there's two stages. First he comes to the clouds, and then he comes to the earth. And that time frame is definitely more than 7 years. I believe it could be up to 47 years, maybe 50 years at the most, if you include the last seven weeks of the tribulation period. But there is much in the scriptures to support the idea that the rapture, when the rapture occurs, there will be a lot of tribulation after the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, but the last 7 weeks will be fulfilling Daniel's 70 weeks. So let's look at Zechariah. Zechariah prophesied about this return of the Lord. It says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations." Who's those nations? That's the Battle of Armageddon. "As when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." Again, the Mount of Olives. where Jesus is preaching this sermon that we're looking at, the Olivet Discourse, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And we read that in Revelation chapter 19, where his saints will come down in white horses with the Lord Jesus Christ, who will sit on a white horse. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. We read that in Zechariah chapter 14. We also see in Isaiah, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people. So he will become and be stand in the gap, and that breach that he has had with Israel for 2,000 years will be binded up and heal the stroke of their womb. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And we know that he will devour his enemies at the battle of Armageddon with the sword that comes from his mouth, his word. He will devour them with his word. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm and the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. And so it will be a spectacular event when the Lord returns. Again, we read in Revelation, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. We read in Revelation, says here, and I beheld, this is in Revelation chapter 6, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So it will be a mighty day. Like I said, a cosmic explosion when he returns to the earth. All eyes will be upon the heaven as he descends. The skies will tremble as he descends to the earth. We read again in the scriptures in Joel, the earth shall quake before them, the heaven shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Again, that's in Joel, the book of Joel. Peter quoted a portion of that on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. So who are the elect that Jesus' angels gather together from the four corners of the earth? They could be all the people in the nations, the nations. There's a judgment of the nations at the end of Matthew. Jesus describes it in the Olivet Discourse. It's the last parable. There's seven parables, and we'll look at those seven parables. The last parable, there's the judgment of the nations, the goat nations and the sheep nations. And those could be what's described there in the Olivet Discourse, where he says, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Or the Jews that are scattered around the earth, or the Jews that are in the Red Rock City. So basically, he will gather up those people after he plants his feet on this earth. But that's a different group than the pre-rapture saints. And I tried to bear this out in more detail, because there are those who are teaching the pre-rapture of the saints is a hoax, that it doesn't exist. And they use this passage here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31 to say that is the rapture, because they correlate that trumpet with the trumpet of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And that is a totally different event taking place. The event in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is taking place in the clouds, and the event taking place in Matthew 24:31 is taking place on the earth. And so, there is a video out there on YouTube and embedded in a church in Texas in their YouTube channel that they say that there is no pre-tribulation rapture, that it's a hoax, it's not true, and they use this verse 31 primarily to try to upset people's belief that the pre-trib exists. And now the pre-trib does exist, but you have to be ready for it. And when we get into the parables, the Lord talks a lot about being ready for the pre-trib. That means spiritually watching for it, observing it, being ready, being prepared, watching and praying. Those four things the Lord lays out very importantly to be watching for his return. And when you read about the believers in the Second Thessalonians, about those who fall away, yes, there are many believers that fall away and ignore the return of the Lord. We read in the scriptures about the Bible says very distinctly, "Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, and even more so as ye see that day approaching." The great falling away means they're going to fall away from the church, from the assembling themselves together as Christ demands the body of Christ to do, to come together in local visible churches all around the earth, and to stay faithful and to encourage one another and hear the preaching of God's word and to sing songs of faith and to worship the Lord. And there will be a great falling away because they will not keep their eyes on the things found in the scriptures and on the return of the Lord. Their eyes will be caught up in not wanting to suffer because of the tribulations that will come upon believers, and also the cares of this world, the pleasures of life. And so it is very important that we discipline ourselves. It's a duty to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And many of us preachers talk about it right now. After COVID, there are many, many people out there who have not returned to church. They've gotten accustomed to staying home and just watching church on video and not being a part of the congregation any longer, not assembling with them. And it is vitally important that we do that. Now, I understand there are people who are out there sick and shut in who are not able to, and it's a blessing for them to be able to watch the service on a computer or their phone, but or to hear this message by radio, and that is a blessing to them. But they're sick and shut in. They can't physically get out of the house, or it's very difficult for them to get out of the house, and that is understandable. But for the young folks who have their physical strength, it is important that they get back into church and assemble and be assembled with the congregation and hear the preaching of God's word and singing with the believers in their congregation. And so with that, we will end, and then we will start to look at the seven parables that are found in this Olivet Discourse. That are now, these parables are very distinctly outlined for the church, or at least six of them are very distinctly outlined for the church and for the believer to understand and interpret and to know the nature of the Lord's return, his first stage in the clouds. So have a wonderful day at church. Enjoy your worship of the Lord. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord. Thank you for your grace, for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you for calling us into your fold. Thank you for, Lord, being our shepherd, leading us, guiding us, leading us to just green pastures and still waters. Lord, thank you for just all that you prepare for us through your word, and help us to understand, to eliminate the iniquity in our heart, that our hearts would be pure. Lord, help us to break the hardness. You break the hardness, Lord. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Guide and direct us. May the word of God be a light and lamp unto our feet. And Lord, may we lift you on up in not only in word, but in deed. And Lord, give you the glory in everything and everything that we say and do. May it please you and praise you. And we love you. And thank you, Lord, for the listening audience here. I pray that you would be with their needs. Help those that are sick and shut in to feel strong and get well and be able to return to church. And I pray that others that are listening, if you've fallen away, that you would get back into church and understand the importance of God's word and being ready and watching for his return. And there's many crowns that are laid up for those that are watching for his return. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.